Good morning. I want to thank Gary for the song leading and Brother Cooper for that fine prayer this morning. Appreciate everyone being out with us. As Chris announced, we are definitely in vacation season with a couple families away at this time. We're certainly glad that you are here. We have visitors with us and we appreciate that. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus promised when he established the church that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We're almost 2,000 years later and the church is still here. However, as a matter of fact, most of the churches mentioned in the New Testament pages themselves no longer exist. This is evidence that the existence of any local church is not permanent. As people move and as situations change, churches, congregations will come and go. We're subject to many forces. This is no doubt in my mind and probably in yours that this has been a difficult time the last couple of years for the West Carrollton Church. And this last year has been particularly trying. We've had three families leave because of disagreements over preaching or with the leadership of the congregation. We've had the pandemic that has affected us, and it appears that now that the pandemic is over, there may be a couple of members who stopped attending with the pandemic who are not motivated to come back now that things are much better. And prior to that, we have had a much longer, prolonged period of decline. In the years that I have been here, we've had several up and down cycles, and that happens, where we would grow and then people would move away and so forth. But I think this current period of the last several years that featured the loss of several of our long-time members through death, and as we get older, that is going to happen. And families choosing to leave for larger congregations or leaving the area in order to get work or for whatever, that has caused what we see now, much smaller groups than what we were 10 years ago. One of the things that I want to point out at the very beginning is that we are not alone in that particular trend. While there are congregations that are growing and new congregations being started, there are other congregations that are facing the same types of problems that we have been facing here at West Carrollton. And on a widespread level, there is much concern about this and this trend. And you can read articles about that, and you can see responses to it. Our brothers and sisters over at Cornerstone have built their whole summer series over how do we approach this world in which we live. And I might mention, by the way, that Tuesday night their speaker is going to be there live and in person, and it's Brother Ken Welliver, who's held a couple of gospel meetings here. So if you want to see Brother Ken again, that service will be at 7:30, and he's going to be there in person. But they're trying to address some of the problems that as a growing congregation they're having. I read articles on the internet about congregations that are suffering the loss of members, and what do you do as the congregation ages and things like that. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, and what one of the things that I've been thinking is that Mike Grushon needs to have a kick in the seat of his pants, because some of the things I want to talk to you about this morning are things that I've heard myself say that I shouldn't be saying. And it's just an easy excuse. And so what I want to do is to encourage us that the most important thing we can do at this time and in response to what has happened here in the last several of years is to create and maintain a proper attitude so that we can be the congregation we ought to be as we move forward. Now, in this lesson, I'm going to do something different. There's going to be a lot more scripture reading than even normal for me in this lesson. And it could be tedious. I've tried to break it up with pretty pictures, but it could be tedious. And I want to challenge you to pay attention to these readings and particularly to look to what it says, because we're going to look at the seven letters to the churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, first century letters, and see if we can at least draw a few applications that might help us improve our attitude, and so our approach to the future will be what it ought to be. And one of the things that I'm doing here is to affirm what I've told you about these churches in the New Testament. I'm going to show you pictures of what's there today. And the first is Ephesus. And Jesus writes in Revelation 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place. Unless you repent, yet you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Next, he addresses a letter to the church at Smyrna. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and who has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. And then he writes to the church in Pergamum. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written, and the stone which no one knows, but he who receives it. And then he writes to the church in Thyatira. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds, and your love, and faith, and service, and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, And she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron and a vessel, as a vessel of the potter are broken into pieces. As I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he writes to the church in Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of God. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then to the church in Philadelphia, he wrote, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, say this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And finally, to the church at Laodicea, he writes, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy for me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I am standing at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So first, let me put you at ease. I do have no intention of trying to study these seven letters in detail this morning. In fact, each one of them could be a sermon because of the richness of what is said in there. What I hope to do by this reading and you following along is that you notice and some things. And the observation can be made, these seven churches are a mixture of churches. A couple of them are very strong and there are no criticism given to them at all. Others had some good points, some bad points, and one was disgusting to the Lord to the point that he said, I would spit you out of my mouth. And I suggest that every local church falls somewhere in that perspective. But for our purposes, we want to make some observations from those letters this morning. And the first thing that I want us to notice is what's not in the letters. Because these are the things I have found myself saying and find others saying that probably deflects us from the real attitude and approach that we ought to have. You know, we read these seven letters and there was not one mention of the fact that the members of the church were getting too old. Now that's to say something to us, because there are several of us that are getting old and getting older. But whatever problems these churches had, and by the way, whatever successes the two faithful ones had, it wasn't related to how old their members were. The other side of that is, there was no mention of the fact that any of these churches' problems centered around the fact that they didn't have enough young people. And so many people think that's such an important evaluation of the church. I need to go somewhere where there's more young people. And I like young people. Wish we had more of them. Wish the ones that are here were more active. All those kind of things. That goes without saying. But the Lord, in giving his evaluation of these seven congregations, made no mention of the fact of how old they were or how young they were. You know, there's no mention of how old their church buildings are, or even if they had them. Now, they had some places to meet, they had to assemble. But sometimes you'll hear people say, well, our building just doesn't attract people. Is that what's supposed to attract people to the Lord? There's no mention of the conditions of the neighborhood in which they were located. We need to be someplace in the suburbs where there's shopping centers and things like that. Our location is in an old part of an old town. You know, incidentally, there's only two mentions of whether the church was poor or rich in these letters. And the one that was poor financially is one that the Lord said, you are really rich. And Laodicea, the one that was in one of the wealthiest cities in the Roman Empire, he says, you don't know how poor you really are. You think you're rich, and you're naked, and you're desolate. So those financial considerations really didn't come much into play in these seven letters. And there was no mention of the age or the ability of their preacher. Now we know that some of them had good preachers there for a while. Ephesus had Paul himself and Apollos, Aquila and Priscilla. We know that there were some, but that isn't mentioned at all here. So what are the problems that are mentioned? And how do those relate to us in the 21st century, in the year 20 and 21? Well, what did he say to the church at Ephesus? He said, "You are a faithful church. You test false teachers, and you stand for the truth. But," he says, "you've lost some of your zeal. You've lost your first love. You're not as much in love with the Lord as you used to be. You're still doing all the right things, but something is beginning to be missing." And that's a point of self-examination for any church. Are we doing the right things? Good. Are we doing the right things because that's what we've always done? Or are we doing the right things because we love the Lord and that's what He would want us to do? To the church at Smyrna and to Philadelphia, he indicated that they were facing persecution. And interestingly enough, at Smyrna, he said, "Satan is going to cast you into prison for 10 days. You are really going to undergo that persecution." And to the church at Philadelphia, he says, "The threat of persecution is out there, but I'm going to spare you from it." So faithfulness is how a church stands, and that may or may not result in opposition and persecution. But if you have the character as a congregation that God wants you to have, that won't make any difference to you. You will still do what is right because it is right and because you love the Lord and you want to please Him. The church at Pergamum is very interesting. It had been persecuted and it had undergone that persecution and come out of the other side of it. And was strong and tested, except he says, "You're allowing false teachers to influence you." And at least some among them were being tempted by the influence of these false teachers, and thus the church was in danger. And similar to that, the church at Thyatira, look at what he said to them. He said, "You're growing. The works you're doing now are better and bigger than the ones you were doing before. But in the midst of all of that growth and of all of that good work, false teachers are influencing you to tolerate immorality." To the church at Sardis, he said, "Most of you are dead. They show up. They're part of the church. But," he said, "you're not alive." And I want you to notice that. It wasn't that just some of the church was dead. I think almost every congregation deals with the problem that there are those who are identified with the church and considered to be a part of the church that are not active and participatory in the work of the church. But Sardis was not that. Sardis, most of the members were that way. And he said, but there are a few that haven't been affected by that. And I want you to notice, in terms of words of encouragement, he told those few, just keep at it. The church as a whole might not have been pleasing to him, but he says, "I know which ones of you are faithful. I know which ones of you are alive, and you just keep at it." And then the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. They just weren't disinterested enough to be dead like Sardis. They just weren't interested enough to do anything about it. Now, every one of those types of critiques of those seven churches of Asia, we can look at and examine and say, does that describe us? Or how do we fall in there? We have some of these kind of traits and look at these good traits and so forth. And we need to take a good hard look at ourselves and how we are contributing to the spirit and the growth, the spiritual growth. Numeric growth may or may not come, but spiritual growth we can control. We can make happen. So that brings us to the last point, which is really, there are exhortations in these letters. And these are exhortations to these first century churches that we could say, that applies to us. We need to take that exhortation and say, that's us. That's what we need to do. Probably the most familiar of all the exhortations in the book of Revelation to these seven churches is the one that he said to Sardis, the church facing persecution. He said, do not fear what these people can do to you. I think we're coming into a time in this country where more and more pressure will be put upon little churches like West Carrollton, big churches, to conform to an ungodly world. And so it's very important that we understand this applies to us. We need not fear. We need to keep doing what the Lord would have us to do, no matter what the circumstances are. And he says, you be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Faithfulness does not depend upon all those things we mentioned at the beginning of this lesson that are not found in these letters. Faithfulness depends upon the heart of you and me. Ephesus, who had been a strong church and was still a strong church but was beginning to suffer that fading of their zeal, is told you need to remember what it was like and get back to being who you always were. Stay faithful, but get energized. Perhaps that's us. Perhaps we need to keep doing the things we've been doing, but do them with more energy and more enthusiasm. Have more impact upon the world that is around us. But I think probably while the exhortation to Sardis is probably the most familiar one in these seven letters, I think the most important one is found in six of the seven letters. If you want to look at that list, it's everyone but the church at Ephesus. But to all those other congregations, what he says is you need to persevere and overcome. You need to overcome whatever the problems are that you're having. You need to stay faithful through them. And if you will stay faithful through them, then I will give you blessing. In each one of the letters, he phrases the nature of the blessing a little differently, but the message is the same. I will know you're overcoming, and I will grant you blessing. And then to the church at Philadelphia, about with whom he had no criticism at all, he says, you just got to keep on doing it. He says, you hold fast. Don't let anything, anyone, any condition deter you from being faithful to the Lord. So, I find that I myself needed to think about this. In fact, I've been thinking about stuff for a long time, and then this thought came to me a couple of weeks ago, and I've been working on it. But in these letters, as found, the problems that we need to be concerned about and the solutions that we can enact. We need to encourage one another to hold fast, to persevere, and to overcome. And that's true if things get worse before they get better. We need to resolve that the one thing that mattered with Jesus is faithfulness. That's the thing he commends in every one of these letters. And that relies upon you and me. I can't be faithful for you. You can't be faithful for me. But we can encourage each other to be faithful. That's the lesson I wanted to share with you this morning. So we haven't talked about becoming a Christian in this lesson, but there are those in the audience who have never obeyed the gospel, so we want to give you this opportunity if through your studies or your thoughts, you've reached the point in your life that you're now ready to give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells you to repent and be baptized in His name, and He will give you not only the forgiveness of your sins, but He will give you the Holy Spirit in your life to help strengthen you and bring you to that point of faithfulness unto death. If you're subject to that invitation and you want to obey the gospel this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.